People change. In spite of the woman whom I hadn't seen since 1968, when she was the senior bank teller in the Clydesdale Bank in St Andrews, and I was a skinny, poverty-stricken student, the woman who said to me when we met at a party 40 years later, "My goodness, you haven't changed a bit." I write, she should have gone to Specsavers, for sure. In spite of that ringing endorsement, I know and you know, people change. We get thicker around the middle and thinner on the top. We learn stuff, and with luck, that changes us. We grow wiser as well as rounder. We see some things more clearly in spite of the bifocals. Our priorities change because other people need us, lean on us, take us out of ourselves and require of us that we be more tolerant, more patient, less selfish. Our opinions evolve, or at least they should. Couples worry that they might change through the years of their marriage. We're not the people we were is used as a get-out clause for couples whose relationship has gone stale. But come on, how boring to be the same person you were 20 years before. Nothing new crept into your thinking? Nothing fresh and dynamic came into your life to make you want to review and reassess your old certainties? Changing is a sign of life. Not changing at all is a sign of lack of imagination. Dinosaurs didn't adapt, and it didn't end well for them. So yes, we mellow, or we become less tolerant, we move to the right, we swing to the left, or maybe everything just moves south. One way or another, yeah, people change. As it happens, Christianity is the faith of changed people. It promises change, celebrates change, affirms change, requires change. Even all the fancy technical words we use to talk about the faith are essentially ways of speaking about the truth that people change, and people who embrace the faith are bound to change, to be changed. Conversion means simply that. 1 minute Saul of Tarsus is thundering with ruthless brutality against the church. Then he sees the light and is converted, and his whole life is turned around. Repentance is a commitment to altering the direction of your life, turning back to the light of God and away from the darkness of self-will and resistance to God. Refer Zacchaeus. Like the sign at the road junction, changed priorities ahead. This is the Christian journey now begun, and things inevitably are going to be different. Even the basic Christian concept of salvation is about a change, a changed status. Before, we were hell-deserving sinners. Now, thanks to the grace and love of God, we are sinners saved by grace. And that process by which we become, with the help and power of God, more loving, generous, freed up and saintly, the personal spiritual development that the Bible calls sanctification, is simply the gradual and in some cases painfully gradual business of being changed towards the image of Christ. Learning to deal with people with the same acceptance and compassion he demonstrated, rather than our own tendency to dismiss, categorise, label and exclude. So change is at the core of our Christian understanding. And the anecdotal evidence of that is found throughout the story of the church and the countless lives that have been transformed by the decision to follow Christ. Whether that's Zacchaeus, the tax collector of whom we read, with his profiteering lifestyle, his willingness to sleep with the enemy, now become a changed man whose encounter with Jesus and whose response to his invitation altered the whole direction of his life. Or Francis, the spoiled brat, son of rich parents, adventurer and playboy, become the honest monk who embraces a life of service and simplicity. Or Jonathan Aitken, arrogant patrician politician, humbled by imprisonment for fraud, who now spends his time campaigning for Christ, a changed man. Or countless other men and women whose lives had been turned on their head by the call to faith. The library of Christian faith is chock full of men and women who committed themselves to Jesus Christ and found a new life a new set of values, a different perspective on everything. This is what he does. In the way that the top management gurus can step in and turn around a failing company, or the best head teachers can turn around a failing school, the power of Christ's love and company in our story can turn around our situation, save us from the deep pit of self-loathing, restore lost hope, inject deep and enduring joy into our experience. Changing people is what he does. We are citizens of a world in which the need for those changes is pressing. Even within our own sheltered, relatively sheltered community, we can identify the problem. Young people, some already coarsening and unruly, heading up the one-way street to disaster, missing the point, shaping up for trouble, ugliness and misery. But there's nothing inevitable about any of this. Change of direction, conversion, new birth is possible. It's not inevitable that a generation will amuse themselves to death or shipwreck their dreams. And there are plenty of mature men and women unsure about the point of any of it, confused and struggling to cope, all too aware of an aching emptiness inside. For all of them, Christianity holds out the possibility of changed lives, new direction, new purpose. You have to understand that this is not about winning the argument, about being right, my religion is better than your lack of religion. It's about caring how people use the life they have. It's about caring enough about them to let them know that there's nothing preordained, nothing set in stone about a barren, superficial harshness that mars so many people's experience. We can change. We can be changed by the grace of God. We can be changed. Christianity is not about propositions and creeds. It's about people's lives and how they're lived, freely and gloriously, or cramped and imprisoned by loveless self-centeredness and superficiality. It's not about sterile discussions and committees and dogma. We don't want people to agree with us. We want people to be liberated, glorious and triumphant, joyful, fulfilled, forgiven men and women. We don't want to beat them in the debate. We simply long to see the wanderers who are struggling through the maze and damaged by their bad choices come home to where they belong, to the healing love of God, to know the peace he gives, even amid the stridency and challenge of living in the pressure cooker that is our society, our family, our work. So this is why we do it. Why we do church, why we are the church, so that we can offer pastoral care for broken individuals and assure them that the love and care of God are there for them. We do church, we are church, because in the name of Jesus, we want to invite men and women and young people to choose the life of faith and find the transforming difference it can make to how we view ourselves, value ourselves, how we view others and value them, how we treat the world and steward it in God's name. That's why we eagerly safeguard, support and nurture the work of the church, because it offers the hope of change to people beleaguered and broken on the wheel of circumstance, experience or crisis. To them we say, and no one else is saying it with quite the same urgency or force, come this way. Follow this Christ. Here is life in all its fullness. Step back from the busted flush of the secular life. Turn away from the bankruptcy of a life without God. Find a new direction on a personal journey. And we offer that challenge not because we want more people to fill the pews of our church, but because we want all the children of God to embrace their true status, enjoy their stature as loved, forgiven, redeemed individuals, walking in the light of God, sustained and blessed by his presence in their life. Time for a change. Time to be changed.